But Vietnamese trade in dongs. Figuratively and literally, I'm sure.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
I did decide to look it up. 500,000 dongs is a good night for Pops X.
Like most women, he's an emotional thinker.
Good God.
I mean, that's part of the problem we're having now in our society is we have a bunch of emotional thinkers that want the world to, you know, to fall in line with their emotions. It's not... look, reality doesn't give a shit about emotions.
It's my lived truth. Fuck your lived truth.
No, it's not. It's your perspective.
Kiss my ass.
Literally, like, hey, Sergeant Pop, you got to turn your bear suit. I'm like, over my dead body.
No.
Just give me a statement of charges. Yeah. You're never getting this back. Yeah. You can suck it.
I'm going to wear this with my Russian coat.
you will bury me in this. Hey! Why you got to fucking be like that, man?
Because I'm an asshole, and I learned from the best. I'm sitting across from him, and I'm pointing at you with all four fingers.
All right, first of all, the Russian jacket. Is World War II surplus.
I'll send you a picture of it, Sarge.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I got you standing wearing it with holding two giant buckets like you just collected all the chum from behind the dump dumpster at the bar, and you're going to go home and make ice cream out of it.
What's up, savages? Sorry, I hit the wrong intro. Shit happens. Murphy and all. What are you going to do? Let me give me a 5x5. You can hear me in the chat. I also, at the top, I put a link in so you guys could join tonight if you want to bullshit. It's all good. I'm also working on another paranormal pop story in regards to the Middle East. So I got a 5x5 on Rumble, and I don't see nothing on MGTOW yet. I got a 5x5 on Odyssey. Okay, so I'm going to assume MGTOW is good to go. All right, I got a 5x5 on MGTOW. Good, good. Now, I understand the Super Bowl is on, so, you know, if we don't have a lot of people, it is what it is. You know, what are you going to do? Now, Steve and I are going to be covering this whole USAID stuff and some of the other shit that's basically been discovered in regards to the audit that's going on. And this is going to get really ugly real fast. And you're starting to see the mainstream media and big tech trying to run interference. It's not going to work. I mean, it's starting to become blatantly obvious that there really was a shadow government and some people pulling strings from the background. And you've guys heard me say it, I don't know how many times, about it all being propaganda and I don't know. I mean, I've been in the room while they were planning psychological operations. And I know it when I hear it. I know it when I see it. And it's been going on for a long, long time. I would even say it was pretty much happening, you know, in 2004 when I was in Iraq. Because I was on the ground for some crazy-ass shit that either was barely mentioned on the news or it was completely different. I have to look at my notes to see if... see if there's anything in there that's of any use or if I can even find those notes. Because I did keep a log. It wasn't super accurate, but it is what it is. Okay, so if you guys want to jump on, you know, just have, if you can, like a headphones with the speaker. If you don't, that's fine. It is what it is, but it just cuts down on a lot of the background noise. And let's get, we got Sean St. George or Seen St. George. We're going to bring him on here. Boom. What's going on, wild man?
Oh, not too much. Enjoying another Saturday without sports ball. Or Sunday, excuse me.
So you're not watching the Super Bowl?
I quit watching when it became more about political activism versus sports entertainment.
Yes, I'm the same way. I was pretty much done with basketball, and this is probably about a decade and a half ago when they had that one or two players actually wade into the crowd and start fighting people. And I was like, fuck it, I'm done with that. And then once they started taking a knee for football, you know, they can fuck off as well. I'm done. You know, I watch some college football from time to time, but not that often. I will watch the Red Wings, but only when they get higher, if they get higher up in the playoffs. Other than that, I really don't watch professional sports other than boxing, kickboxing, MMA, and the like. So yeah, how long have you been watching?
Go ahead.
How long have you been watching the show, Mr. George?
Probably at least 4 years.
All right.
But I can't really narrow it down. It's been watching for so long, and then
it all blends together.
It does blend together. And then I joined up with Red Pill Rhino and his crew. Uh-huh. And I've been broadcasting with them for like the last couple years. And then now I'm modding on your channels for like the last 6 months at least.
I appreciate it. I really do. I do. We have some individuals who I think they're ghost trolls. They're always trying to like start shit on the channel. And we do a pretty good job of keeping that underfoot.
We try. Can't catch it all, but.
Yeah. And you know what? And I only, like lately, I've only really banned people who are bots. And like prior to like 2017, I think I had banned maybe 80 people from 2009 up until 2017. And you really had to push my buttons and then keep doing it over and over again because I'm pretty tolerant of that shit. You know, like I've got pretty thick skin and I usually let a little lot slide, and I don't get really emotionally all vested into people doing stupid shit. But you like the content?
Oh yeah, it helped me figure out what Red Pill was, and then everybody was already telling me that I either dismissed or I was still a little too blue pilled at the time. Let's just say the veil got opened up, and now I could see things a lot more clearly.
So what are some of the side effects of getting red-pilled that you've noticed?
Well, it depends. We got some people who are, they kind of like go to a black pill state because they're in a state of shock. It's like when you turn somebody's world upside down, or in this case, right side up. To correct what they have been programmed throughout their entire lives from their parents, education, media, etc.
Yeah.
And then we got sometimes people find their peace in that because, like, oh, I understand why this is all going on now. Now I can make a plan about it now that I understand the threat or.
The best way I can
say it, yeah, it's like doing composite risk management or military decision-making process.
Uh-huh.
Now you've identified the thing that needs to be overcome. Now you can build off of that, because if you don't know what to overcome, how can you plan around it?
Yeah, and especially if you don't know the mitigating factors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed is, like, I went through the rage and the black pill, and that went on for about 2.5 years. And then I, you know, I just accepted it that I was raised by a single mother, and all of the shit she had, you know, put in my thinking meat was not really copacetic, shall we say.
Yeah.
And then most of the music I used to like, I don't even listen to it anymore because it's all, you know, blue pill garbage.
Yeah, I've got to go back to at the latest the 2000s, if not well before then, to find music that I actually like now.
Well, like, most of the music is about, like, you know, some kind of losing a chick or trying to get the attention of a chick and, you know, broken heart, this, that, and the other thing. And it's just so stupid. Once you realize how the whole game runs, you're like, fuck this. This is just stupid.
Yeah, I think I heard somebody say all the music industry is, there's like only 3 or 4 different kind of song sets. It's either about loving women, religion, politics, or wah, 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 woe is me.
Yeah, well, yeah, the wah, wah, woe is me stuff is, yeah, I get it. And then you got the wet pussy rap songs.
I have yet to never listen to it. I'm hoping I get out of this life alive without ever having to listen to that piece of shit.
I know. I got you. But, you know, like when I was in high school, I graduated in 1986. I'm old now. And, you know, rap was relatively new. And it was like very, you know, crude. But it was new, and it actually had a lot of creativity to it. And some of them, they actually, you know, would rap to rock songs, like Walk This Way and stuff like that.
But I like that fusion.
Yeah, genre. Yeah. Yeah, but today, it's these guys are like, they sound like auctioneers trying to sell your rotten pussy. And, you know, and then if you don't like it, they'll kill you or some shit like that, and then fuck the police. Get the hell out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah, awesome lessons to impose on your listeners or on your people who buy your records.
All right, and since I got you on the line, what do you think of the comedy that I do?
I like it. Well, I'm prior infantry, so I get most of it.
Ah, yeah, I get it, yeah. The graveyard humor.
Yep, 2 different eras in service, but, yeah, no, the potty mouth, the dark humor, the grave humor.
Yeah.
It's what we had to do when we were deployed. We would come up with some of probably the sickest shit I had ever heard, because we're seeing some of the sickest shit we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, or, being condescending when you get stupid orders, like, oh, yeah, 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 it's going to work out real well.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I came up with the someone's going to die.
I wish I had known about that back when I was a green suitor. That would have caught, like, fire in my company.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is when you're in E7, you can get away with pretty much murder. You know, unless you, like, have sex with a subordinate, punch someone in the face, you know, show up on illicit substances. You can show up drunk and they'll yell at you the first couple times. But other than that, you can get away with it. Man, I did that all the time.
We had a saying in one of my, one of the battalions I was at. You can go from E4 to E5 with a DUI.
Uh-huh.
And you go from E6 to E7 with a DV. Because it's like people are trying to get promoted, but they're only promoting people who have royally fucked up. And that always bothered the shit out of me. But what I didn't see, well, with half of the people that applied to, is how they rebounded and got their shit together afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's why they got the selections for promotion. I know E6 to E7 is not a board, but it's points, but you've got to get recommended.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, like when I was, you know, in the '80s and nineties, you could fuck up pretty substantially, but if you're really good at your job, they would like do whatever they could to keep you.
Mm-hmm.
And today they'll just burn you to the ground over a rumor.
Yeah, it seems like they went back to peacetime army standards where it's they're looking for any reason to remove you because there's mandates to, you know, save money on the budget overall across the force versus now they're removing people because they want ideology to dominate the force.
Yeah, and that, hopefully they undo that shit. I got a super chat here from FlashGator01. He's wants information to join Pops Preppers. If you're in the regiment and you send your email into me to redonkulous12@gmail.com, I'll put you on the list. I haven't really been putting out the newsletters like I have because my mother's been in and out of the hospital and it's kind of really fucking with my mind. So, I mean, that's about the range of my excuses but that's the truth. Like, my mother's like been moved to an assisted living facility now. And, you know, she thought I was her grandson. It's starting to get bad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's towards the end. But if she makes it to the end of the month, she'll be 79. So, I mean, that's a good run.
That is. Yeah, that even if, is not a small feat at all.
Yeah. Even if she doesn't make it to 79, I'm going to round it up anyway because it's good. It's close enough for government work.
Well, yeah, if your guys are looking for prep stuff, you're gilded. They've got several channels about different types of things that could go fall into the prepper category.
Yep.
So if the newsletters aren't coming out, we got people giving suggestions on there too.
Yep. And I'm actually gonna start doing a couple videos where I actually go out and shoot some guns. Talk about, you know, the difference between mills and minute of angle and mill rad and minute of angle scopes, first focal plane, you know, intermediate to long distance shooting, which is 500 to about 900 meters. Once you shoot over 500, you really got to get good at reading the wind and the boil and everything. And if you're not a shooter, you know what that is, but I'll probably do some videos on that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Cause not a lot of stuff like that is out there. At least not with the ones that I see. Cause they want to do Ranger TV. So yeah. They want to see targets get hit. They want to see 50 BMGs try to go through, some sort of weird setup, or there's a new plate that came out and people are testing it out.
Yeah. Well, I have, my buddy has a 300 PRC and we shot through a level 4 plate with that thing at like 120 meters.
What round?
225 grain Hornady ELD match. Yeah. Burned right through that thing.
Yeah. Plates are really great for small arms.
Yeah.
Start getting a little bigger. Yeah. Well, even if it stops it, you're going to wish you were dead because of how hard it hits. And maybe you might have some liquefied organs at that point.
Yeah. And it'll break your ribs and you get a lacerated liver. If you are not literally within 5 miles of an emergency room with an ER, you're dead.
Oh yeah. That's real quick.
You will bleed out quick. And then the human body can only really tolerate 20 G's worth of force before you get an aortic dissection, and then you're pretty much unconscious in 45 seconds, dead in 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I got to give some props to the fighter pilots. I did not know how physically demanding that job was until I had a physics teacher come in. When I was in high school, and he showed his, like when they go through the little circular round thing during their simulations, and we're seeing him, he's losing consciousness at about, what,
7 15? G's.
Yeah.
You start getting
fog. It must have been. Well, that was a long time ago. I'm probably well off.
Well, you get real foggy right around 7 G's, and then they have those G suits that will make you can pretty much stay conscious around 9 to 12 G's, depending upon your your body and how good of a shape you're in. But anything more than 12 G's, you're pretty much going to black out.
Yeah, they got to do the grunting. It's like they're trying to take a massive shit that won't come out. Like they've been on MREs for 3 weeks.
And those fighter pilots, and this isn't really publicized, they get really bad hemorrhoids when they're 40s from that.
That doesn't surprise me.
All right, let's see what we got here. I don't have anybody else. Nobody else wants to jump on? Jeez, I thought you guys want to go through some stuff. All right. Well,
Some people might be busy with the game. I haven't
Yet
to see. We got some usuals here that I know do.
Because
I figured Crusader Nate would show up.
Yeah, he might be watching the game.
Broken Plan, I know you got a small setup.
Yeah, I got...
Who else? Yeah, nobody else that I see. Cliff 3188 were here. I know he does because you inspired him to start streaming.
Good.
With his buddy or his brother Brian. And they do the Out of Service podcast that I tag along with every chance I get. A couple of vets who are trying to have some fun.
Yeah. Did you see me on Pearl's show?
I've seen bits of it, not the whole segments. But I do notice how everybody says in the chat, it's like, you keep spelling Pop's name wrong.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. No, she just like sent me a text one day and like, hey, man, you want to come on the show? I'm like, all right, where are you at? I thought you were in England. She's like, no, I'm in Illinois. I checked it on the map. It's like 4 hours and 40 minutes, which is nothing for me. I mean, I used to drive 571 miles one way twice a month for 5.5 years.
I used to do that. I was stationed at Wainwright, which is up by Fairbanks, Alaska. And my folks were in the Matsu Valley, which is 500 miles south. And when I wanted to go home, it's just get off Friday as soon as I can, head down there, smoke and joke on Saturday, Sunday, make the return trip.
I believe Wainwright used to have the Jumping Jews on there, didn't they?
That one's not airborne anymore.
Not anymore. They used to be.
It's a striker brigade, it's a striker brigade up there when I left.
Yeah.
But it's also home of the Northern Warfare Training Center, which is where I was stationed at. So military mountaineering, cold weather survival, those two schools. And
I did
that was really fun.
I did the cold weather survival, and then I did the that was attached to I was in the 9th ID, and we did extreme cold weather operations, which sucked.
Yes,
it got
that's why your kit's important.
Yeah, you'll die. You will legitimately die out there.
Doesn't take much much time.
No, and I'm working. Hey, so everyone who's tuned in tonight, I'm actually working on a paranormal pop story, different stories. Now, the backstory is this. Let me show it up here on the screen. Let me see if I can find it. Present, share screen. Da-da-da. Here we go. This one here. All right, this is the Battle of Najif. In 2004. All right. So this was a big, basically a big beat down. I went down right around the same time as the first Ramadi or the first Fallujah that took place. And they put the date of the fighting from 5 to 27 August, but they really started doing shit in May.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out of Abu Ghraib prison, and we picked up a bunch of low priority detainees that got sent there. And now, I wasn't a guy who did any of the interrogations. That's just not my lane. But, you know, these guys were low-level fighters, knew the area, or knew of the area, or knew people operating in the area. So I would talk to them and see if I could, you know, squeeze any intel out of them. And I started noticing that they hated being there, because those Iraqis, and mostly most of the people in the Middle East, are incredibly superstitious. All of them believe in jinn.
Yes.
And
oh, a lot of good stories that I follow online are what they go about that. Jinn seems to be the very popular one when it comes to bad things happening to either coalition troops or, but the locals are like, we told you, we warned you, and now you're feeling the pain.
Yeah. But they absolutely hated it because of, one, the reputation that the prison had from Saddam. And he had, you know, there was three layers of mass graves outside our barracks, which was actually a cell block for the political prisoners. And, yeah, I mean, all of the crazy shit that I saw while I was there, you know, they talked about Najif. And apparently there's a cemetery. I think it's the Wadi Cemetery. And it's like 1,500 acres in size, which is, you know, multiple times bigger than Arlington. And it's been constant use for 1,400 years. Has somewhere between 5 and 10 million people buried in there, with 70,000 plus or minus, you know, a couple thousand prophets who are also buried in that cemetery. And I read an article a couple of years back about professional grave diggers who worked there. They were paid pretty well, you know, $300 American a month in Iraqi money is huge.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of fucked up shit that happens to these guys that work there, like stillbirths. You know, guys having to spend time in a mental asylum, needing exorcisms. Some guys are physically attacked by supernatural entities. And there's reports of ghouls which feed off the bodies of the dead. And
like the physical form of a ghoul? Because hear they could either be a... I guess you could say a spiritual one, or there's a physical one.
Well, there's reports of both. Mm-hmm. I think that they can actually, you know, take physical form, do what they got to do, and then they're gone again. And there's also reports of, when I talked to some of the guys who are from that city, they would not allow their children out after a certain time of night, because of dangers from the cemetery, which I found, you know, pretty creepy. Now, there's a rational explanation if you really want to attach it to a human being. You know, you and I know, did you go to Iraq or Afghanistan?
Iraq, both trips.
Both trips?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they like to bang little boys and molest children.
That was something really hard to, to not do anything about or be told to stand down for.
Yeah, I had actually stand some people down from that, and it would have turned into an international incident. I think we moved a intel and a civil affairs team that was attached to the 202 MI battalion, and. They had made friends with some homeless kids, and the local police were raping these kids. I think one of my teams was in the area as well, one of my LIRS teams.
Yeah, and Iraqi police is the biggest joke of Iraq.
And these police reported it to the Americans. The Americans went up the chain, then it came back down, and then one of these kids that they've been raping. They just burned him to death, threw gas on him, and set him on fire. And, like, we had to, like, bust our ass to get out there lickety-split and relieve those people and get them the fuck out of there because they were just emotionally attached to the whole thing. But, man, and it's really hard to find any concrete stories or anything in regards to the cemetery, at least on the English websites that I can read about it. They all turn into, like, touristy kind of things. There's a couple articles in here in regards to what happened there. Hang on, let me see if we got here. So the background here at Najif. So, they started June of 04. It ramped up to July, and then it went down in, towards the end of the 5th through the 20th, basically all of August. And El Seder was there, and let's see.
Old Mukti.
Al Mukti, yeah. In fact, at around Abu Ghraib on April 10th, we had a big fucking movement to contact where they set up a complicated ambush on us, and it was 4 or 5 miles long, had somewhere between 300 and 500 participants. And the casualty count that we got from the civil affairs team 72 hours after put the KIAs somewhere between 80 and 120, 125, with three times as many wounded. So we pretty much zeroed out that battalion of the Mahdi army for a good 2 or 3 months. Until they could replenish.
What year was that?
2004.
Okay. Because we... My company had, it was 07, during one of his insurgencies. We donated one of our platoons, and they came back every single day, black on ammo.
Yep.
And we were in Bradley's. So Small Arms is black, 25 Mike Mike, 7.62, that's black. They took away our toes at the beginning of deployment. I don't know. I guess they can't trust us because they took our toes. They took our pyro. The only thing we had as pyro wise was the signal flares. I forget what we called them, but the one that you just slap on a surface and it pops.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. No, we had, when I was there in 04, it was game on. We had everything. We had Mark 19s, 50 cals, M48s, M60s. AT4s, which were used quite a few times on hard structures, were taking fire from buildings. They just shoot an AT4 in there and say, fuck it. But yeah, it went down. And in fact, when we showed up there, one of the units that was leaving the building going back stateside, they're like, hey, you want our ammo? And we're like, fuck yeah, we want your ammo. And we signed. Yeah. A whole 40-foot Connex of ammo, like grenades, it had explosives in there, all kinds of medium and heavy machine gun ammo, Mark 19 ammo. The whole deal, man. It was savage. Yeah.
Never say no to a donation like that.
Nope. But anyway, I was exposed to a lot of guys from this area that were on Abu Ghraib prison. Basically, they started trickling in towards the end of May, and then it really picked up by the end of August. In fact, we had picked up so many of these low-priority guys. We had we're only really supposed to have 25 to 2,600 low-priority prisoners, and we had 55, 5,600. And
how much capacity does Abu Ghraib have?
Well, I mean that we're over capacity on prisoners. And the funny thing is we built a camp for them to stay in, and we were living in the basically cell blocks that were made for actual prisoners.
Are they just like little bars there, or are they like modern prisons now where you got big doors for
each cell? They had bars. Yeah, and each cell block was three stories, and we like to stay in those because we're getting mortared between 1 and 5 times a day, and every now and again we'd get 4-inch mortars. And you know, it's one thing if you know a 4-inch mortar might be able to make it through a concrete roof, but not by much. Whereas if you're, you know, staying in a tent surrounded by sandbags, you're pretty much toast, which happened in May. We lost somewhere between 100 and 150 Iraqi low priority. Man, it was more than that. I think it was like 100 of them got shipped out wounded, and something like 200 plus were turned into road paste and bits and pieces by 4-inch mortars. And I got stuck on the second wave cleanup crew, meaning we didn't deal with anyone that was wounded. Everyone was dead. And we actually had the big pieces that we had to put together and put in bags, which was just gruesome as fuck.
Yeah. Don't envy that.
Oh, no. I mean, that whole place is just fucking evil as fuck. Let me check some of the comments here.
And we also we got Jackal in the back.
Yeah. Let's see. Think CIA officers don't have buddies in Russian GRU and S. Yep. Yeah, they do. Yes, every CIA employee was offered a buyout. So when you hear that, what does that tell you?
From what I understand, the buyout it's actually pretty generous. It's paying your salary up until the end of the fiscal year if you leave now. But it's it happens every once in a while, even under Democrat administrations, but not at this level. But targeting the CIA, well, hopefully they take advantage of it, and we could go ahead.
So when I hear that they're offering everyone in the CIA a buyout, means that the current president has absolutely zero confidence in the CIA, which I don't blame him, because he knows something that we don't. Yeah. And what do you think that is?
There's more than one. I'm very familiar with intelligence failures, because every time I got a CIA mission that we were supposed to be an assist on,
clusterfuck,
it either got compromised, it was... usually we're outer cordon, so I was a regular infantry guy. So sometimes special forces would take us so that we could do cordon while they go and do their thing. But yeah, definitely loss of confidence in the CIA. And not only that, he wants to allow people who have been targeting him directly to take a bow, leave, and get out of government life, hopefully. Sure.
But remember when he first came in, he said he wanted CIA to declassify the JFK assassination and Martin Luther King?
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're implicated in that. And on top of that, plus all the other shit they've been doing, he might be just saying, fuck you guys, you're done. We're going to tear this place down. Yeah.
Yeah, trying to finish what Kennedy started.
Yeah, I think that's what he wants to do.
And CIA had a good run, but I don't think its mission set is... They didn't really adapt too well afterwards. They still think that they could use whatever... Well, that's government and military, from my experience. They think what has been working for the generation prior works in modern day, until you actually have a modern day conflict and realize this doesn't work no more.
Well, yeah. Well, there's that, and then you have... the USAID takedown, which is basically the funding arm for the CIA.
Yep. Should go.
Well, here's the thing, though, is like I'm an intel guy, at least in my later half of my career, or later third of my career. I was a guy who actually looked at hard intel. I gathered it for like the first 2/3. But when you start putting it all together, it paints a pretty dubious picture, in my opinion. So, would you agree?
I can't disagree.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm here. I can't disagree. I can't affirm for what you saw. I could just only from what I see or what I can interpret. And the CIA is not doing well. Nobody knows what they're doing. And what we know that they're doing is usually the bad stuff. Stuff that is misconduct or failures.
I got you. We got two guys on. We got Wackle. Is that
what
you,
motherfucker? Jackal? Yeah, that's me.
Jackal.
You dick pumpy grunty.
And who's this J371?
How you doing, man? I'm a longtime fan. I've talked to you a couple of times.
All right, Smurf my balls.
Alrighty then.
I'm just fucking with you. So how long you been listening?
Geez, got to be about 7 years or so.
7 years. Wow. All right. That's good. What do you think? Do you think it's a good channel?
Well, I'm a supporter and I'm number 371, so I'd have to say yes.
Oh, that's your number, 371. Oh, yeah. Wow. When did we give you the number?
Hell, I don't remember how many years ago it was.
Probably about five years back.
I was going through a pretty dark time, and yeah, you guys really pulled me through it, man.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I'm really fucking this music to my ears, brother. And we have a lot of comedians out there that are really fucking funny, and they just don't. They don't really. They don't come out and support men. They want to make everyone laugh, make a bunch of money, and you know, I just can't do that.
Well, yeah, you start talking about men's issues, there's no money in that.
Nah, there's no money in that. yet. I have a feeling in the next, 1 to 5 years from now, as you know, men, when it really gets to the point where mainstream media can't ignore the fact that men are no longer playing the game, they're going to have to cater to us if they want to make money.
Man, but they're gonna, I think they're going to hold off till the bitter end, I think.
Not if I have my way.
Yeah, I think that's right. They are, I'm pretty sure they're well aware, but they're refusing to give it airtime.
Yeah, you're correct. But I'm actually trying to put together... like, you guys know how I roll. Everything is war to me. And I've been waging this thing like a guerrilla warfare. You know, I pop out, do some damage, go back into the jungle, wait a while, come back over here. You know, I'm on pretty much every video platform out there that'll have me. Even, you know, some of the less popular ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got kicked off Daily Motion a few years back, which was annoying, but, you know, it is what it is.
And there's never weird even heard shit on Daily Motion.
What? Who's that?
Just me. Daily Motion hosts a lot of weirdos. Like, their shit is a little questionable, the content they upload. So,
yeah.
Perhaps it was for the best. You don't want to... That and Telegram... You don't want to affiliate with either one of those platforms, probably.
Yeah, you're probably right. We might have a presence on Telegram, but I don't run it.
I heard it was Russian-owned.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, my videos are on, like, .ru fucking sites in Russia. There's MGTOW, Red Pill guys there watch my shit. I'm actually thinking of putting together a video for India, because those guys are really getting skull-fucked over there, man. Wow.
Yeah, I think they are still kicking around that tradition that they have where you're basically kissing your woman's feet.
Well, you have thousands of years of tradition. Then you have these dowry laws. And then you have standard English law came in. And on top of that, in 1982, they passed this 498A law, where literally your wife can make accusations about abuse or whatever. And she can name your entire family. And there's cases where they detained like 4 and 5 week year old children. at the police station.
Damn.
I mean, it's so fucking stupid. I know. It's so stupid. And they're killing themselves hand over fist over there as well.
My boss is Indian, and you know, he's a very traditional Indian guy, and but he knows my whole situation, and I've told him what MGTOW is. And he came to me one time, you know, I need to ask you a question. Yeah, you know, what's up? He's my buddy in India, he's getting divorced, and he's telling me this horror story, and I'm like, Christ, this is worse than mine. And yeah. So I was like, well, I don't know how things work in India, but I got a couple of channels I'd tell you to recommend to him, and yeah, you were on top of that list.
Yeah, you see, here in the West, they fuck you in the ass. In India, they get fucked in the ass and in the mouth, and then they rip open another hole and fuck that, and then they fucking give you a socket blink job. So you're getting hit by four dicks at the same time.
Man, that was graphic.
So basically, you're a pin cushion.
Yes. Yeah.
Getting penetrated on all sides at once.
Yeah, and some of these ladies are really ruining these guys' lives over just petty shit as well. I mean, it just proves my point home. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get a taste of that power, you can never trust them again.
No, because that's a betrayal right there. And once somebody has betrayed you once,
they'll do it again.
They've displayed a willingness and a capability to do it again.
Correct. And they know from childhood they have that ability.
Yeah.
I mean, until they get punched in the face, allegedly, but, you know. Because ass beating is actually a pretty good answer for any kind of misbehavior when you're a child.
Yes, yes, it is. I think it is. But here's another thing. It's like, I'm 56, right? I don't think I could date a woman who's divorced. Because I know that she's got divorced. She knows how the system works. She got a taste of that power.
Absolutely. It's going to be hanging over your head like an anvil in an old cartoon.
Like, I was banging this one chick about 6-7 years back, and she was married for like 13 fucking years. She had a nice rack on her, you know, nice blonde hair, good hourglass figure, you know, blue eyes, you know, just an absolute fucking wrecking ball in the fucking bedroom. But I knew it was just temporary, because in the back of my mind, I'm like, if you could do that to him after 13 years, you could do it to me.
The last one I went out with after my divorce was, I mean, this girl, I mean, she was able to, you know, suck the soul out of me. you know, I was, wow, this is pretty sweet. But I'm like, what the hell am I doing? It's fun for, you know, a couple of minutes, and then I'm going home and I'm scrubbing myself in the hottest water there is going, oh, this is not the way.
I got to add that to the book. Suck soul out of dick straw.
Well, I mean, you know, what was that old Andrew Dice Clay thing? She's pulling knee cartilage out of me.
She took even the knee cartilage? Oh.
Hammered, bro.
Go home completely spent, but I mean, not to sound all like cliche, but I was like, I just felt empty afterwards. This is a waste of my time.
Well, yeah, you know, I get it, but it was good sex, man. You know, it was my.
But I'm 52. It doesn't matter like it did when I was 18. You know.
You're right. You're right. I mean, I was I was 47, 48, right before I retired, when I was banging that one chick, and it was fun. But it wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I've just chosen to just not participate at all.
That's where I'm at now.
It would not be a good idea. Besides, I already have a track record of attracting some bad ones.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah, cheerleaders in high school. That was bad.
Yeah, I married one.
yeah, don't do that. Mistake was made. Waitresses at steakhouses, that was very odd. Dad actually had to tell me that that was happening because I was that oblivious.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe I was just, I was filtering out her bullshit. I could sense, ah, yeah, I'm what, 18, 3 months out of high school, and you're older than me in college, and you've already got a job in your own house and a car. So what do you want with a kid like me?
Mm. Wait, why does a waitress have her own house and car?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I didn't question it. I just
I sense OnlyFans on the side.
I sense red flags like the Chinese yes. flag. Yep. Yeah.
And an 18-year-old kid getting led around by his packer. I mean.
Yeah. So I played ignorant and just allowed all of her attempts to just go right over my head and not write my number on the back of the receipt that we left on the table.
Yeah. Well, I married a nurse, so that stereotype played out well.
Well, usually nurses have big asses for whatever reason.
Now, actually, you know, when I met my wife, ex-wife, she's redhead, big tits, nice figure, you know, green eyes.
Yeah.
That's hard to turn down.
It is.
I don't like redheads, so I would just completely bypass that one.
Yeah, I was never into the redheads. A good-looking redhead is so rare. It's as rare as a unicorn.
And they do age like banana pudding.
Yeah, yep. By the time you turn around and get to the counter, it's brown.
Yeah. It sure as hell is.
And there might be a few maggots in it already squirming around.
So what's the score on the Super Bowl? anyone tracking?
Last time I looked, Philadelphia is up 17-0 on the Chiefs.
Ooh,
they're fucked. Just turned the channel. Looks like it's 24-0.
Yeah, they're done.
Oh, no. Ooh. Looks like it's a blowout.
Blowout.
Andy Reid is going to be pissed. Yeah, he better be
that
careful.
He's getting beat in the Super Bowl by his former team.
We got a guy, Rigger 420, he says some black girls are sweethearts for sure, though. Some are, I guess. Yeah.
Just be careful because the assery that comes from them is usually not good. And I grew up in the hood for a little bit, so I know. I was one of the only white boys on the street, so it was nothing but chocolate for me.
I never really had a hankering for that at all. I mean, I like Latino women.
Well, I mean, if you're a dude that likes big butts, black girls and Latinas, there you go. But they both have caveats. Because when God designed their genome, he said, there's way too much good looking on the outside here. I have to make something about them to add a negative. It can't be all positives.
Yeah, so it's biting God into a rotten apple.
Yeah, so
Broken Pine is saying Indian women are repulsive. It'd be the same as fucking a hairy goat.
Like sticking your dick in a sponge that was just used to wash the tub.
Ugh.
Man, you have some sick fuckers, man.
Before you pick all of the hair out of the sponge. it's prickly. Ouch.
Jeez, that's nasty.
Jackal and the Dark Chocolate, a screenplay by Pop and Blake.
I fortunately never gave in to the Dark Chocolate. My buddy has, and if he's not careful, he's going to knock that girl up.
We got Winston, 1984, married 24 years, going through the divorce now.
Oh wow.
24 years ago?
So close.
7-13, 21, and 24. He didn't make it past the fourth review. Sorry, Winston.
What the fuck is wrong with that woman? You've invested in something for 24 years. Why are you dropping it now? You're old, you're crusty, you're dusty. Your inner workings are probably about as decrepit as the Crypt Keeper. So why bail out now? That's like bailing out of an aircraft right as it's about to touch down on the runway.
But they always think they can do better.
Yeah. They'll look you right in the face and go, I deserve happiness too.
Yep, I deserve.
That sounds like a whole lot of three.
Yeah, he's saying she was not happy enough.
Yeah, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing a lot of bullshit.
That's a, then with mine, I heard all those, I'm not happy, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve. I'm, bitch, I bought you a six-bedroom house. What do you mean you deserve?
That's right.
Yeah, at that point, I think the filter makes their voices sound, whenever they're talking like that, when they're talking about what they're entitled to, all I hear is anytime an adult talks in any Peanuts episode.
Now, usually at that late in the game, it's usually the woman who wants the divorce, because most dudes, once they get past a certain stage, they're just, they're going to hold what they got.
Yeah, and that's why I actually called. I was hoping for some advice.
All right, what's up?
So, I mean, I talked to you guys about it before once, but so it was April 15th of last year, my ex-wife went into the hospital with double pneumonia. Well, one thing led to another, and she got all kinds of fucked up, and multiple organ failure. She had to get life flighted to Toledo, she was like in a coma for like a month. And so she came out of the coma, but you know, she couldn't move at all. She was basically paralyzed. And so my son came to stay with me the whole summer, which was great. And he says it's the best summer he ever had. And but all this time, I'm still paying child support. He's with me full time.
Uh-huh.
And so I go to court and I file for custody. Well, they gave it to me, but it's once she decides, you know, she's able to take care of him, then he has to go back there.
No, fuck that. I would appeal that up the chain.
Well, that's already long past. So, I had to tell him, Luke. I didn't mean to give his name away.
That's fine.
Hey, buddy, you know, it's you got to go back to your mom's. Well, he screams, I don't want to go back. I hate it there.
How old is he?
He's 12.
He's old enough to make his own decision.
But we're in Michigan. He's not allowed to speak on his own behalf.
You can get it.
Is he still there with you?
No, he's at his mom's.
Where in Michigan are you?
What's that?
What part of Michigan are you in?
I'm in Adrian.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Get an attorney.
I can't. That's so she's got a buttload of money. I supported her forever. Uh-huh. Now she's probably making $500,000 a year, and I'm just your average wage slave. Yeah. So, so what's going on?
Administrative violence, baby.
Here's the thing. We got a hearing coming up on Thursday, actually. And so she's filed. So what I did was, you know, I got the custody, and because all I wanted to do was halt child support. Mm-hmm. And so I finally did. But now she wants child support back. All I want, by all rights, he should be with me, you know, as the main parent. But that's not going to happen. At least want 50-50, which probably also won't happen. I just don't want to pay any more fucking money to this bitch.
But I think right around 13, they can decide where they want to live.
I've read in Michigan, they don't have a choice until they're 18.
No, that's bullshit. No.
Oh, that's right. Different jurisdictions. Because I grew up in a divorced home and right around that age. What is it? The advocates of the court would be asking, who do you want to spend time with more? Who do you want to be with? Because my dad was getting screwed. He was a weekend only guy until around that time. And I'm like, I don't get enough time with him. It's like, okay, you're going 50-50.
There you go.
He also got back child support back because they had overcharged him for over a decade.
Well, wow. we had a guy in the, and this is a few years back, but he had two sons. Both of them were living with the mother. When the son got around 13, 14, he just kept running away from his mother's house and coming to his father's house. And he was like 7-8 miles away and would just ride his bike.
My son already told me he's going to do that.
Yeah. And you can't control what the kid's going to do. I mean, if the judge is like, I'm going to throw you in jail.
She can't go rolling after him with her fat ass in a wheelchair.
There you go.
Yeah. If the mom can't stop the child, then maybe you got to redo the custody thing.
Well, she's got this white trash, the guy she was screwing around when we got divorced. And so she's with this loser that's like, man, I can milk this bitch for everything there is.
You can do the administrative violence and do the CPS CPS bomb on her. You can report the boyfriend.
What scares me, she can turn around and probably do it right back to me, and she's vindictive enough.
No, I know, but that's why you do it anonymously.
Man, my son is he's terrified to even speak his mind because with the mind games, which I know, you know, I dealt with it with her and my own mother, and he starts telling me stuff, and I'm like, oh, buddy, you are, you know, I don't want to trash talk his mom in front of him, but uh-huh. I'm at the point now with the crap he's hearing about me.
Yeah. I mean, I've had guys, like, absolutely wreck boyfriends or even, you know, stepdads by just doing the terror letter writing campaign.
I got the hearing coming up on Thursday, and I'm just I don't know what it's one of those referee hearings, and we got to do it by Zoom because, you know, she's a morbidly obese paraplegic.
All right, now, first of all, whenever I went in to Macomb County here in Michigan, they put me in front of the referee, and I always got fucked. And I'm like, I immediately appealed and went in front of the judge. The referees are always going to side, you know, on the mother's side.
Okay, so all right. See, I did. So you can appeal that, like,
fuck
right
yeah,
away.
Every fucking time. And I remember she's fucked. I remember this one bitch is like, yeah, we're doing it. I'm appealing it. Well, I have to do it anyway. I go, fuck you. I don't even know why I'm here. I paid to see the judge. You're not a fucking judge.
Okay, I figured that was that's it. It's final. Bam. You're no. Bend over.
And they can't even throw you in jail. You have to go to the judge to get thrown in jail.
Huh. Okay. Well, nobody told me that before. Not even a lawyer has told me that before.
Yeah. I mean, if you go into the courtroom and you're in front of the judge, you just ask him, are you the actual judge, or are you the, you know, the mediator kind of judge?
Right.
Because that's usually what they do.
And that's exactly what this is.
Mm-hmm. Because I had Max's wife in court like every 22 to 28 days for almost 2 years.
Yeah, but what did that cost you? I don't got the money.
It only cost me the filing fees. That's it. I mean, I think I paid $70 for the $75 for the filing fee, and I don't think there was a fee to appeal.
Okay. Gears are turning.
And here's the really fucked up part. Is I had a, I'm an evil genius. I can't help it. I had a contact in Hong Kong. I called him Hong Kong Harry, and I paid him like $300 to like crack my ex-wife's email, her Yahoo account. So I was literally reading her correspondence between her and her lawyer. And
there's no way that's legal.
Of course not. But I'm a fucking Green Beret. It's what I fucking do, man.
Right.
There's a difference between being legal and getting the job done.
Yeah. Right.
You can't do both.
So I knew she was paying $800 every time that she would show up with an attorney. So I'm literally like paying $75 and she's paying $800. It's just a battle of attrition then.
Well, that actually came up with my ex. She was bitching. Do you realize what all this is costing me? I'm like, costing you, you fat bitch? How much have I paid you in the last, 6 years?
Yeah. When, next time you hear that, you go, well, yeah. If she says, you know how much this is costing me? You just respond, it's not as much as the cost of the soul that I've lost over the past few years with my kids.
Well, not like she gives a fuck about that. I mean, a heartless, soulless fucking bitch.
Yeah. I know women are like that until they're about ready to die or they fucking need something real bad. And then they, I'm sorry. Oh, fuck that.
So
you're not sorry.
That's another question I have for you, because you know more like you're usually, I mean, you're not a doctor, but you're pretty good with that shit. So so my ex, she went through all this shit. Like I said, multiple organ failure, like kidney shutdown. She was on dialysis and all that shit. And there was heart failure. She's constantly got to go in to get her throat opened up because it keeps closing. So we're talking about a morbidly obese woman. I mean, at one point, she was up close to 300 pounds, a far cry from the cheerleader she was. And now she's a paraplegic.
So she's a married dick?
Yeah. I'm like, all this has got to be playing a toll on her. I can't imagine this. When I think long game, like when you talk long game, even if I lose, she's got to be dead in a couple of years, right?
Yeah, you keep fucking turning up the heat. Fuck you. Have the kid run away, come see you, fucking stay at your house. It's not your fault. Even if the judge is like, we'll throw you in jail. You're like, okay, this put me in jail now because I can't control him. He does not want to live with her.
She sucks.
Do you have any idea what that's going to look like when it goes up for appeal? If he throws you in jail and you throw a fucking fit about it? Good luck controlling a 13-year-old kid. Good luck with that shit. She's in a fucking wheelchair, living life, blowing and sucking through a straw.
You chase him down the street, roller.
She can't stop him. She can't stop him, and I'm not inclined to do it either. So, you know, go fuck yourself.
It scares me that this meth mouth boyfriend of hers might decide to like get physical or something. But
that's fine. You can always write some fucking letters, and this is how you do the letter thing, okay? And this is going to be really evil, but it's so effective. I'm such an evil.
I don't have a moral compass anymore after all this shit.
I know I'm getting a walkthrough, but if I can save lives, fuck it. All right. So does he have a criminal record?
I don't know. According
to
my son,
why have you not paid?
He's a Uber thug.
Pony up to $200 for a private investigator to spend half a day pulling his records. Not a big deal. You should be able to find out everything there is to know about this guy. If he has any criminal history, it just makes it a lot more easier. Okay. So what you do is you write some letters. They have to be a minimum of 3 letters, and each letter has to have a minimum of 3 truthful pieces of information. So it weaves together into a big net of lies. All right, and you want to write this letter to the principal of the school, and it's anonymously. And you say, look, I don't want to be involved in any of this. But, you know,
now I have talked to some school officials. So.
Yeah. Well, the thing is you're like, this is totally anonymous. You just say, okay, my son hangs out with this other boy who's your son. And he keeps talking about this boyfriend of his mother's who's trying to get him to introduce him to his friends so he could sell him drugs.
Wow.
And the principal will get this shit. And I'm telling you, they have the police department on speed dial. It's like they have their own red phone right to the cops. Hey, I got a motherfucker here selling drugs to kids, man. And if he has a criminal record, they will fuck him up 3 ways to Sunday. Here's another thing. Follow him around. Go rent a car so he won't know it's you, right? Put a wig on, whatever. You know, take the homo point.
Put a wig on.
All right. He goes into one bar. You just wait on him. When he drives out of there, you get behind him. All right, now you want to have a burner cell phone, so you might have to, you know, do some shit.
And I've thought about all that, and I've told my son, you know, if you guys are, like, out to eat or something, and he has so much as 2 beers, text me.
No. It doesn't matter. Even if it's – if he's going to a bar, he's having a drink.
Right.
So the minute he comes out, burner phone, call the cops – give a description of his car, his license plate, a vague description of him, and go, he just pulled out of this bar at such and such, almost fucking sideswiped me. He fucking went into a couple of fucking lanes. I'm fucking pulling back because he's going to probably fuck some people. They will fucking roll him up. They will breathalyze him on the spot. If he blows anything, he's going to get fucked up.
And since he can't go anywhere with my ex because she's, you know, an anchor around us. In a way, I feel bad for this dude. Fuck yeah, he's getting the money and all that, but he's got to deal with her gigantic crippled whale ass.
Now, listen, when you drop the rounds for fire of effect, the actual kill pattern is between 50 and 100 meters. All right, fuck that guy. right. Don't have any fucking mercy for him. We're talking about the future of your kids.
I mean, he can blow a goat. I don't give a fuck. But, you know, it's just as a guy, I'm like, I wouldn't wish it on another guy other than him.
Yeah, I gotcha. And yeah, she is probably pretty fucked up pretty bad. And more than likely, if she had organ failure, and she's probably still on dialysis.
No, that's that all is better now, but at least from what I hear.
Yep. And we got a super super chat from Susie McCurley for $10. Use administrative violence to stress her into more heart problems with a steady barrage of paper cuts. Okay, I like it.
Like the ancient Chinese torture?
Yeah.
That's by 1,000 cuts?
Slow. Yeah, it doesn't sound like his ex's Chinese secret.
Kind of long for the world anyways with her current and past medical history.
Yeah, but listen, like, people have to understand. The minute you hear the words, I want a divorce, you need to inside be able to take your feelings and pull them out of one stack and put them in another. And there's, you know, love and trust on this side, fucking enemy.
Wish I'd have known that then, but I am very free with that advice for everybody else now.
Like, women can do it like that. Once they decide they're done, you are fucked. They will literally, if they could, skin you alive and wear your skin as a coat for the rest of their fucking lives as a souvenir of how they fucked you over.
And what just blows my mind is the fact that my son sees all this. And he's not stupid. He knows what's going on. This doesn't affect her brain at all.
And more than likely, your sons will... How many kids you have?
Just the one.
Yeah, he probably will never get married.
God willing, he won't.
Yeah.
He's going to say, fuck that shit.
Yeah, Susie McCarley is saying, don't wait for nature to take its course. Your son needs you now.
As since she's been back at his house, he's put on probably 25 pounds. He's fat and depressed, you know. And
can you get him in sports?
I tried. And it's funny, everything I like, here, let's go down to the field. We're gonna play some catch and hit the baseball. I don't want to. Well, you're gonna. And
you know what? Get him some boxing gloves and some focus mitts. And you just have him work on those when you have him. And if he says he doesn't want to, you just go, listen here, fat boy.
And I had him when he was here. I had him exercising. His weight was dropping. He was, he's getting to the age where, you know, the girls are getting very, very important. And,
yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, buddy, you know, there's one thing they don't like. And you know what that is. So, you know, get your ass in gear.
But the thing is, they could do this with boys, but you can't really do it with girls as much. Is you can just be brutally honest with them. Go, look, bro, you're getting fat. People are going to pick on you. If you want to be a fat hostess eater, you better learn how to defend yourself. Put on the fucking gloves and hit the fucking pads. We're doing 5 3-minute rounds with 1 minute race. Well, 1 minute rest. Shut the fuck up. Get on with it.
Yeah, I got a heavy bag in my garage. I'm going to have to get him back out there and beat on that thing again. Yeah. He's got one in the basement at his mom's house, but he's not allowed in the basement because it's full of cat and dog shit.
Ooh, that's a CPS complaint.
Yeah.
You can also call the health department on that.
And I've thought about that.
You can write an anonymous letter to the school stating, my son went over your son's house and he came back with fleas and mites from all of the animal waste in the fucking basement. It's a health hazard, and you need to do a health and welfare check. They'll do it. And that'll be more ammo for you to get custody of your kid because of an unhealthy environment, and he doesn't like living there.
See, this is what I need. I needed that kick in the ass. I needed the pop knife hand, you know? You're fucking up.
Yeah. I get it, man. I get it. I'm glad I'm here to help
yourself
you guys.
Hand.
Yeah. Unfuck yourself.
I've always been, you know, just, you know, the avoid conflict kind of guy. And I'm just, but this is the welfare of my son I'm talking about.
Yeah, you can't do that, man. You got to take it to him.
But I've taken it up enough of your time with my bullshit. You guys, you got other stuff to talk about.
No, man, you guys are allowed to ask fucking advice and shit. Hopefully, I was able to help you out, man. It's all good.
A lot, but if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind hanging on just to chat.
Going. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. So, do we have anybody in the chat who has any health questions of me? I know I'm not a doctor, but I take a lot of supplements, and I know. I mean, I did lose 30 some odd pounds since 2022. I had that long COVID shit, which has almost, thank God, almost done. So, and
I'm popping.
Yeah, I did not get the vax, and nor will I ever.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't in that position to have to take it.
You what?
I said I'm glad I wasn't in a position where it was forced upon me to be taken. Like, was it? So I only did 10 years total my time of service, but if I were to do a full 20, it would have been what? Year 16, 17 out of that? And I'd be like, fuck, I got so much invested in this. And now the rest of it and my retirement would have been dependent on this shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. I wouldn't have taken the shot, to be honest with you. I'd have told him to fuck off.
My job actually started handing out pamphlets that we were supposed to get it. And no, I didn't do it. No.
Yeah, well, it's about a year and a half ago, I was hanging out with a retired buddy of mine. He's a retired officer. And we were up at the golf club on Selfridge Air National Guard Base, and there was like four or five officers in the table next to us, and three of them were chaplains.
Hmm.
So these chaplains start trying to strike up a conversation, and I'm like, look, you guys sold the fuck out, all right? If somebody came trying to get a religious exemption for the vax and you turned your back on them, turn in your fucking your rank and your cross on your collar and just go fuck off. And you shouldn't look on their face. I'm like, don't look at me all fucking side-eye like that. You know you fucked up. You got to answer for it. Fuck those guys.
Is Selfridge still open?
Yes.
Huh, cool.
Yeah, in fact, there was some reconnaissance flights flying off the coast of Baja, California. And I believe they have a refueler wing that works out of Sangbi that was down there doing racetracks refueling these aircraft. Because they are building target folders on the Mexican drug cartel.
Good. Explosions. Very precise explosions.
But the one plane they're talking about basically grabs all their SIGINT. So all of their cell phones, all of their communications, records it all. And then they can basically tune in a satellite and listen to it whenever.
Aren't those the CWACs?
I think it's a CWAC, but they had a JSTAR and a CWAC, and I believe they had AWAC as well. So I don't know how all of those assets work together. All I know is one of them is used to gather intel on SIGINT. Another one is to track air assets and, basically set up TRPs for missiles, which would be joyous.
Mm-hmm.
I would really love to see 500-pound bombs land in compounds again.
Precise explosions.
It's really exhilarating. It really is.
It makes you want to stand up out of your foxhole and raise your gun up in the air and start firing.
Well, when I did some counter drug stuff when I was in the special forces, I worked on a couple. I went down there to do some stuff in Colombia and a little bit in Brazil, and I think Bolivia as well. The Shining Path and the FARC were doing their thing down there at this time, but there were so many guys growing cocaine, and just, I mean, it was a huge list. So the people that went to the top of the list were the savages, because there were guys out there who, you know, were growing cocaine, but they were really cool. They treated the local population well. They employed them. They gave them medical care, open schools and hospitals. Those guys were at the bottom of the list. But then you had the savages who, like, cut up the mare and cut babies out of pregnant women and like, just doing fucking absolute savage shit. And, you know, things happen. What are you going to do?
I mean, what can you do? Because I'm pretty sure, well, I won't say with any certainty. I will make a guesstimate. You guys were there mostly for intel gathering, training up the government units.
Well, when I was there, all we really did was recon the cocaine fields and mark them on a map, and then the local government sprayed them. Mm-hmm. And then we gave the recommendations to the local government, and they would drop bombs, which I'm sure we gave them. And we probably gave them the bomb out of one of our airplanes, and they just took possession, you know, from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. I don't know how that all worked. I just carried the dead body, which was the radio. I was like, E5, E6.
Body.
Yeah. Would that be like an in-air transit hand receipt transfer?
I think it is. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, I had very limited exposure down there. I just carried the radio. I ran once for my life. And, you know, that's about it. And
at
they actually
didn't get hit by a car again.
No, no. But they actually hired American soldiers as mercenaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Some of those guys.
If you're willing to do dirty work, there is always somebody willing to hire you.
Yeah. Well, they actually hired these guys to protect their cocaine fields and plantations and what have you. And they're the ones that chased us. Yeah. Well, they're the ones that spotted us and then, you know, keyed it into the radio. And then they had, I don't know how many people out there trying to get us. And we got on our radio, called up the chain, and by the next morning, we had already, you know, passed through the lines of the Colombian army, and then those guys ran into them and got jammed up. I don't know if they got killed or not. But, that's where I saw the haggling over a Bronco. That was pretty funny.
You think those guys were regular line people, or... You think any of them came from group or above?
I don't know. More than likely, 82nd, maybe these guys from the regiment or something. But they did, you know, from what I understand, they were getting paid handsomely, like, you know, $300,000-$500,000 a year.
Hmm.
So apparently it's 34-0 Eagles.
Ooh.
What the last time I saw a beat down like that was when my Broncos got spanked that bad in a Super Bowl.
Got a kick out of it earlier. I was on X and I saw that the crowd cheered for Trump but booed bad for Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Good. Fuck that bitch.
What you're going to start seeing now, since they're getting busted, all of this ghost money is getting busted, because it's not just the USAID. I mean, I'm sure they had a big share in it, but they're going to go through the entire government and, like, literally weed out all of this waste, fraud, and abuse. Mm-hmm. And you're going to, I believe you're going to see the licenses of some of the big tech or mainstream media get pulled. Huge lawsuits with damages.
You're already hearing him. That's tyranny, what he's doing. He's stifling the media, and that's uh-huh. not free speech, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm sorry, but when your mainstream media is basically doing propaganda for the communists, which is the EU, let's face it, they're socialist communists, things have to happen.
I think the next one they're going after, Doge is going after, is the Department of Education.
Oh, that, first of all, that thing that thing needs to go away. All right, their budget has gone up, and their numbers of people who can read and do math have gone down. Hey, you guys keep talking. I'm just going to take a couple minutes to go hit the pisser. I'll be right back.
Roger, right. Roger. Yeah, the Maxine Waters doxed one of the federal officials out there.
Boy, she's a looker, isn't she?
More like a lich.
Man, I've never seen such an angry, permanent scowl on a human being in my life.
Yeah, it puts resting bitch face to shame.
I mean, Whoopi almost looks tolerable in comparison, you know?
I think that's called a resting lich face.
That's funny. You guys know each other. I've actually talked to you both, but I'm always one of the background dudes.
I'm becoming a background dude because, well, shit.
Well, life gets in the way.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. That, and I'm still sick. It's great.
So yeah, I saw that Rhino's finally doing videos again, because I've been missing him. I've been wondering where he's at.
Yeah, he's been streaming the last couple Wednesdays. He's trying to get back into form again.
It's good to see.
The shorts he's been putting out the last couple days, where if you read the title of it, it sounds like he's making it like a blue pill video.
Yeah, one of them scared me.
But
at first.
He flips it at the end and goes, like with the illegals, this illegal immigration is so bad, wah, wah, wah. And then he goes, how about you just go get on a plane and go back to where you came from?
Go back. Fuck you.
Can I show you my new toy?
Oh, the revolver? Yeah.
Is that Taurus?
Yeah. That's a beauty. 8-shot. And it takes these moon clips.
Oh, what caliber?
357.
Yeah.
I got it for, with taxes, $825.
Keep trying to tell my son, because he's all about guns these days, and he's, Dad, I want a Desert Eagle. No, you don't.
No, probably tell him, don't.
That thing's going to cross your eyes. You want a 357, which is still going to set you back, but you can get another shot, and the thing can crack an engine block of a truck. You're fine with that.
Yeah, you can stop bears with a 357. You're going to be fine.
Or 10 millimeter.
Yeah, the 10 it's kind of expensive, the 10 millimeter ammo. Like, I got 1,000 rounds of 357 old surplus stock for 35 cents a round. So fuck it. I'm just going to shoot the shit out of that and get good with my pistol skills are atrocious, so I need to do a bunch of shooting. And the best thing to get your pistol skills back is shoot a revolver.
So Susie McCarley's replying to the revolver. Who needs a wife when you got a pretty thing, or when you got that pretty thing?
Yeah, I can't find ammo for my lever gun anywhere.
What type of gun is it?
It was made in 1950. It's a Winchester 32 special. I've taken deer down with it. It's a beauty shooter. I mean, you can't miss with this thing, but it's impossible to find ammo for it these days.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, so another reason I got the soon-to-be lost in a tragic boating accident revolver here. I'm trying to put together a list of things you can say about your guns, but you can't say about your girlfriend. So if you guys come up with any jokes, email them to me, and I'll put them on the list. Because some of that shit is fucking hilarious.
I don't care if it smokes afterwards.
No, I think I already got one. It has something to do with ghost loading with a shotgun, but you can't do it to your woman because it counts as rapé.
You got to email them to me. I won't remember them.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, we got Halbert 86. I love the Smith & Wesson 686 and Henry or Marlin lever bolts in 357. Yep. I get Taurus mainly because it's like half the price of Smith and Wesson.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, granted, you'll get a lemon pistol now and again from Taurus. You just send it back, then fuck it. But like for all of the features on this particular revolver, if I was to get it in Smith and Wesson 8-shot with, you know, the speed, the moon clip, everything, and the adjustable trigger, you know, it's like a $2,000 fucking revolver. It's insane.
Jeez.
What about Rossi as a brand? What do you think of them?
Well, I used to have a Rossi, 771, and I took it to a buddy of mine, and he polished up all the works inside the pistol, and it shot pretty good. Okay. And you can get a Rossi for a 6-shot revolver for like $480. Not bad. You can also get an EAA revolver, which for about the same price, same quality. And I've fired the EAA, and those are fine. I mean, you're not going to do a competition with it or anything, but you know, if you're just getting a revolver to keep in your car or for self-defense or protect your home, you know.
Okay.
Like most people, once you fire off one round, are fucking DD Mowing.
Yeah, my collection got I got a shotgun, I got my lever gun, I got a couple of pistols, I got a 22 rifle. My pride and joy was a 30-06 Remington, like fully, you know, tooled stock and everything. It was gorgeous. I lent it to my brother and he pawned it.
And did you beat his ass?
I didn't get a chance. He died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
But and I still crit, you dirty bastard.
How all right.
You do that.
What kind of budget do you have?
Right now, zero. So okay. I'm just sitting on what I have.
Okay. If you come across, you know, $1,500, you get on GunBroker, you can find a 30-06 Remington 700 Precision. I bought one for $900. Put a scope on it, and I'm literally shooting 6-inch groups at 600 meters, and I hand load all my own shit.
Wow, those are with your reloads, huh?
Yeah. Dang. I've been at this game a while, man. I mean, I was a fucking sniper.
Yeah.
I figure if you're going
to... Sniper, you know, 18 Bravo.
Yeah,
weapons seem to be your jam.
Well, I've always been lucky when it comes to fighting and killing. You know, not that I'm proud of it or anything. That's just my lot in life. Just is what it is.
Well, someone's got to do it, right?
And I'm still technically in the war. It's just for hearts and minds now. And I know. Every life saved is a victory.
Yeah, this is the only time where I don't get disdain for hearing hearts and minds, because I heard that all over my deployments in Iraq. Hearts and minds war, heart and mind wars. Like, they don't want us here anymore.
Nope, they do not.
Well, they've been saying that since Vietnam, right?
Well, yes, you are correct. But in this instance, there is a real war going on. And most people, they just ignore it. It's not covered by the media. And every now and again, you get a blurb on the media about veterans committing suicide, which is like 44 a day. But what about all the rest of the dudes? I mean,
they're cannon fodder.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, I've seen some estimates like it's 100 a day. It's more than that. Because you're talking about, you know, they're just talking about the people who like put the gun to their head and leave a note. Right. What about all the guys who just drink themselves to death?
And that's what my brother did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or get, you know, start using drugs, risky behaviors, you know, going and getting bar fights every weekend until somebody shoots you, crashing your motorcycle. I mean, just doing stupid shit because the give a fuck light went on and you're going forward at I don't give a fuck speed. Yeah. I mean, it's insane.
I was heading down that path, and that's, you know, when I found your show, and I'm maybe tap the brakes a tad.
Yeah, and because a lot of guys out there don't know that, you know, that there's other people going through the same thing, because it's not covered in the media.
And guys are generally programmed not to talk about it.
Yeah, that's why Steve Battledorf, he's like, you probably got 800 or 900 lives saved, because there's a lot of guys out there who would never admit it. And I respect that.
Yeah,
I got it. Pride. I was the same way in the beginning. But, you know, it. The origin story is just fucking creepy.
But the weirdest part is how similar so many stories are. Oh my God, that was me too.
Yeah, I can't tell you, like, I would show my videos when at my last unit in New York, and I'd be halfway through one of my videos on the whiteboard, and I'd always hear people in the crowd going, was he in the fucking room?
Get the fuck out of my head.
And he's like, how the fuck did he know that? I'm because you're not the only one. This is like standard operating procedure. In fact, I need to do that video. Chick SOPs.
Well, that was for me. It was like in Christmas Vacation when Clark sees the tree. Ah!
Yeah,
that's what it was like for me.
You're like, wait a minute, what the fuck?
Son of a whore! I'm not by myself here.
Yep,
you weren't. You just
but
didn't
nobody
know.
Nobody told me.
Nobody told you because they didn't want you to know. Because once you know. Now you understand, I can fight back. Fuck you, motherfuckers.
I mean, my parents stayed together, you know. So, you know, if I had complaints, my dad, you know, is, you know, suck it up. You know, it's this is what guys do. Dad, it ain't that world no more, you know. He's the old grizzled Vietnam vet, you know. You do what you do. And
I'm actually going to do another administrative violence called the Judge and Lawyer Edition. Okay, and just go through the whole administrative violence against judges and lawyers.
Yeah, because the judges need to be held accountable.
Well, here's the thing:
what they've been doing in family court.
You can't go up against a judge by yourself. You need about 15 guys. All right, and what you do is you do a freedom of FOIA request for all of the cases, just the case numbers of all the cases that particular judge has seen. Then you do another FOIA request for all of the donors to his campaign if he was elected. If he was appointed, at some point he will have to be elected, and then you can get your hands on that. All right. And then you know, that's where the other 15 guys, you know, come into play. You divvy up all of the, you know, case numbers. And then you just got to do your research and read all the cases and find out who got fucked and see if you can get the transcripts. It's going to cost some money. And then once you have that all put together, you go contact all of the men who are fucked over by that judge. You have to have a notary with you. And you file a formal complaint with the state against that judge for each and every one of those male defendants who got fucked over in the divorce. And you can... You know, you can mention stuff like, you know, if you get a PPO put against you, but you were never in court, it's unconstitutional because you have the right to face your accusers. And, you know, erring on the side of caution is not written into the Constitution.